Thank you. We're actually tremendously proud of the work that's been done under my predecessor, AG Eric Holder. Back in 2013, we unrolled the Smart on Crime reform. And it was a different way of looking at how we charge and sentence federal prisoners, particularly the low-level nonviolent drug offenders. A.G. Holder, like myself, had been a prosecutor a long time, had been involved in working in this field in the 1990s, when we began to see the prison population swell because of the war on drugs. And when we also saw that prison population swell because of the high mandatory minimums being applied across the board, unilaterally, without really a real regard for why they were even crafted in the first place, which was to go after the kingpins, the large-scale dealers, the huge traffickers, it turned out that they're not the easiest people to catch. It's easier to catch the low-level people who were moving things from point A to point B for someone else, or who were hiding money or holding things for someone else. And if in fact you do that, and that's the only person you have in your net, that person takes the whole weight. And so there are people still incarcerated who are doing someone else's time in that sense. And that was the phrase that people used, which was, you know, you weren't the kingpin, but you were on the hook for the entire weight of it. And so we began to look at whether that was really working. And we saw, again, because not just the financial cost, but the human cost of that, and comparing it to how we sentenced for other crimes also, that it was not the most effective use of our resources. It also was a huge financial drain on our system, a system that needed more resources for community policing, for example, for mental health treatment, for example, and services that we need to provide to people across the whole spectrum of the criminal justice system. And so A.G. Holder empowered prosecutors to look at the entire case and look at the whole person, and to, in fact, charge and ask for sentences that focused more on that person's own culpability, and to eschew the harsh mandatory minimums unless we were really dealing with the trafficker, the kingpin, the person who deserved it. And as many of you know, it got a lot of attention, and it was somewhat controversial at the time. And people, longtime law enforcement partners of ours, committed to public safety, committed to making sure the system worked, had concerns. Are you still going to be able to keep people safe? Are you still going to be able to hold people accountable? Will people still cooperate? And what we've seen is that we have in fact reduced the use of mandatory minimums significantly. People still cooperate with us. And achieve those benefits and hopefully get reductions there. We've been able to maintain levels of safety in terms of dealing with narcotics cases, and we're focusing now on those serious offenders. And while the number of cases may have gone down somewhat, the sentences have gone up because they're being focused on fewer people who are more deserving of them. And it's tied in with everything we've been doing with the Clemency Project that you mentioned also. In conjunction with the changes in sentencing that the Sentencing Commission made as to how we sentence narcotics cases, we began to look at those cases to say, if they came before us today, how would they be treated? You know, if they fall into certain categories of the low-level nonviolent offender, and they've already done certainly around 10 years, which many people have by now, would they be in the same situation today? And the answer for so many people is a resounding no. And that's led to the review and led to the suggestions and recommendations to the president that we're so tremendously grateful he's been able to review and also grant.